We'll see. Of course, we know the English Empire, like all the empires, was not necessarily a nice thing or a good thing, but it is a big thing in history, and the Queen's very... Yes. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is... Sorry, I've got a pretty bad headache, and I thought it would go away, but I think it might be a migraine, because it's settled in behind my eyes, and is very sensitive to light. So I think those are usually my warning signs that it's going to be a long headache. So I'm going to probably try and pull this off. We'll see what happens. But we'll try and make it through. It is September 27th, 2022. And it is a little late, a lot late. It is 1909 UTC. We usually try and start the show at 1900 UTC, Monday through Friday. So sorry about that. Big shout out to Rivener, Juju, and M. Chamley. Hello, hello, welcome. X1, thanks for being here, hanging out. As well as OptFX and Sinosphere and Brib. Everybody, Stug probably out there somewhere. Jazzmaz. Thank you, everybody, for being here, hanging out. It is Tuesday. And here in Austin, Texas, we finally had a cold front come through on Monday morning. And it is below 30. It is 31 degrees C, which is very pleasant, especially after so many days much higher than that. So, wonderful time. Beautiful. It's so nice. All right, there we go. All right, well, So let's go ahead. Let's get into some news. There's a lot happening. If you're here early or late, or you just don't want to listen the whole way through, that's totally fine. All you got to do is go to tx0.org/1BE. That's tx0.org/1BE. That's tx0.org/1BE. And once you get there, boom, you'll see all the cool stuff. There's a lot of news stories. I got one very special, especially for Tobe. Whenever he gets back, I will read it because it's a fun story that I think Tobe would like. All right, so first, let's start in Singapore. So in Thailand recently, they've legalized cannabis, and they are, you can smoke it, you can drink it, you can eat it. There are shops that sell it. Restaurants have it in all their food, or in a lot of food. And so the Straits Times has an interesting piece because in Singapore, it's against the law to even consume cannabis when you're outside of the country as a citizen. So while holidaying in July in Chiang Rai, Thailand, a Singaporean and her family ordered a very nice bowl of noodle soup during dinner. The housewife, who was traveling with her husband, elderly mother-in-law, and two young children, enjoyed the dish so much that she ordered it again for breakfast. Oh, shucks. The article that I saved, the offline article I saved, unfortunately, has a paywall on it. And since I saved it that way, I'm going to have to try and go out to the proper site. Let's see if it'll let me out. And shucks. I reloaded it too many times. Anyway, the short version, I guess, since I can't tell you about it. Darn it. Stupid paywalls. Anyway, the point was is that she went and she had some delicious soup. And then she had it again, but she noticed the little marijuana plant next to the name in the dish. Nothing else warned her that it had marijuana in it. And she just thought it looked like kangkung, which is another herb that's used in cooking. So she was very worried because when you come back from Thailand, if you fail a urinalysis, you can be fined and penalized. So she was worried, but don't worry. They say anybody who knowingly ingests cannabis while abroad is liable or is guilty of this crime. Sorry, I got in a weird way. I felt my pulse in my fingertips, and I normally don't. So, anyway, who knows what's going on? So anyway, poor Singaporean tourist though, she won't get in trouble. Don't worry. Ebola infections are on the rise in Uganda. Death toll has hit 23. Ebola infections have risen to across districts in Uganda, bringing the cumulative number to 23. Uganda declared an Ebola outbreak last Tuesday after a case of the relatively rare Sudan strain was detected. The virus has now spread to neighboring Kayegegwa and Kassanda districts, with the Ugandan Health Ministry reporting that cumulative cases have risen to 36. No cases have been detected in the capital of Kampala. So that's good news so far, but the outbreak is growing. So if you are traveling, steer clear of Uganda if you can. All right, and I kept laughing, but it's a very serious thing. There's a gas attack, a gas leak. The Nord Stream pipeline, Nord Stream 1. Ukraine accuses Russia of pipeline attack. Ukraine has accused Russia of causing leaks in two major gas pipelines to Europe and what it described as a terrorist attack. Ukrainian President Advisor Podolyak said the damage to Nord Stream 1 and 2 was an act of aggression towards the EU. He added that Russia wanted to cause pre-winter panic and urged the EU to increase military support for Ukraine. Seismologists reported underwater blasts before the leaks emerged. There's no doubt that these were explosions, said Bjorn Lund of Sweden's National Seismology Center. The operators of Nord Stream 2 warned of a loss of pressure in the pipeline on Monday afternoon. That led to a warning from Danish authorities that ships should avoid the area near the island of Bornholm. The operator of Nord Stream 1 said the undersea lines had simultaneously sustained unprecedented damage in one day. Denmark's Defense Command has released footage of the leaks, which shows bubbles at the surface of the Baltic Sea near the island. The largest patch of sea disturbance is 1 kilometer in diameter, it says. Holy cow. 1 mile. Could you imagine if you were in a boat and you were just cruising along and you're like, huh, what's all those bubbles? Kaboom! Jeez Louise. Anyway, very wild. Insane. Oh, man. I got to reconnect to comm. Sorry about that. I wish it would beep at me whenever it was getting close to disconnecting. Oh well. if you unknowingly, you may end up president. X1, you're pointing, you got a good point there. Yep, it will be a fun winter, Brid. European industry will run on coal, according to X1. Hey, one of alts. I should get my headphones to listen. You could. If you want to. Gas leaks from Nord Stream 1 is nothing more than a terrorist attack planned by Russia, according to the Ukrainians. Other European leaders have raised the idea that the damage to the pipelines was deliberately inflicted. Polish Prime Minister Morawiecki blamed it on sabotage and said it was probably linked to the war in Ukraine. Moscow's denying anything. And says that sanctions have actually made it impossible for them to maintain the pipeline. So that's what they're saying as far as like what's going on with that. Whatever the cause of the damage, it will not immediately affect the supply of gas to Europe, as neither pipeline is actually operational. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline is 2 parallel branches and hasn't transported any gas since August, when Russia closed it down for maintenance. Although neither pipeline is in operation, they both still contain gas. German, Danish, and Swedish authorities are all investigating the incident. So, we'll see how that looks out and how that turns out, but that's a lot of gas. Even if they just had the pipelines, if they just had, one bar, just regular atmospheric pressure of gas, that's still, thousands of gallons or lots of liters of gas. So, jeepers creepers, that would be one heck of an explosion. It'd be bad news for both sides of the pipeline, I bet. All right, well, let's talk about kids. Specifically, children and older teenagers have been removed from the jungle compound of a Jewish sect in Mexico following a raid by the police, the BBC has learned. 2 members of Lev Tahor were arrested on suspicion of human trafficking and serious sexual offenses, including rape, Israel's foreign ministry said. A 3-year-old child removed from the compound has been flown to Israel. Lev Tahor, Hebrew for pure heart, is known for extremist practices and imposing a strict regime on its members. It advocates for child marriage, harsh punishment for even minor transgressions, and requires women and girls as young as 3 years old to completely cover up with robes. The stricture has earned the group the nickname the Jewish Taliban because of seeming similarities with the dress code enforced by the Sunni Muslim extremist group. Police made their way into the compound 11 miles north of Tapachula in Chiapas State on Friday morning. They had been instructed by a federal judge to detain several leaders suspected of child abuse and rescued members of the sect following an investigation by the Attorney General's Special Prosecutor for Organized Crime, dual citizenship, including Canada, the U.S., Guatemala. Said a Canadian and an Israeli citizen were arrested, while 2 others, wanted members, reportedly left the compound 2 days before the raid and are being sought. So, we'll see what happens here. This seems like a pretty dangerous group, similar to the fundamentalists that exist in Utah that will frequently move to Arizona and then down into Mexico. So that's pretty wild. It's interesting. It's interesting that now, really, I don't know. It seems like they should point this out to make it more clear that all the major religions are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all have extremist religious sects that have similar rules and behaviors, oppression of women. They have all the same kind of hallmarks. So, very interesting. Hey, welcome back, Tobe. Welcome. AX1 underwater pipes are probably pressurized. Good point. Good point. All right. Well, Tobe, welcome back. This story, I wanted to mention it because, oh man, it's a story and it's a topic near and dear to everyone's heart who loves the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Happens every damn day at 1930 UTC. Fresh milky samovar tea is giving its more established brother, the evaporated milk karak, a run for its money. That's right, we're talking about tea. Muhammad Ali, a restaurateur in Qatar's capital of Doha, tells a story about a female customer who would come to his shop every day with a flask to have it filled with karak tea. One day, her driver brought the flask and said the woman was in hospital, ready to give birth, but she needed her karak. The next day, she herself showed up with her flask. Ali's restaurant is not an upmarket cafe. It's a nondescript 65-year-old eatery. Hey, that guy's gonna go get some tea. On Doha's old airport road. So what inspires the loyalty? Karak is a sweet, milky tea made by boiling water, thick canned milk, tea leaves, sugar, and cardamom. Some places may add saffron together until it reaches just the right consistency, which varies according to the karak maker. Everyone in Qatar knows what it is, and the country's cafeterias, cafes, serve thousands of cups of it daily, most costing just one rial, or 27 cents. Before the era of Instagram and social media influencers, finding a winning karak recipe and having a good location was the key to pulling in customers. The cafeteria cafes experimented with different blends of spices, milk, and tea. Walking into the shop is optional. You can honk your horse horn and someone will be at your vehicle within seconds. Karak and samovar tea come to Qatar. How and when karak arrived in Qatar is still disputed, but the general consensus is South Asian expats brought the milky tea with them as long ago as the 1950s. Today, a lot of Qatar's karak is made by people from the Mopla Muslim community of India's North Malabar region, who were a land-owning agrarian community. So anyway, I thought that was super interesting. Not the boxer, he is in the ground long ago. He had Parkinson's, so he couldn't talk. And if he tried to make tea, I bet you he would not be able to hold on to the utensils. hey, SCM, welcome. All right, so what else is going on? Well, while we're in Indian region, a Dalit child, which is like the untouchable class of in the Indian caste system, was beaten to death by a school teacher. Really? Yep. Police in India are searching for a teacher accused of beating a Dalit student to death over a spelling mistake, officers said amid violent protests triggered by the incident. Nikhil Dori was struck with a rod and kicked until he fell unconscious by his high school teacher. Oh man. Yeah, I would drive away that fast if I was thought the teacher's gonna kill me too. Until he fell unconscious by his high school teacher earlier this month after misspelling the word social in an exam. According to police complaints by his father, the 15-year-old died from his injuries on Monday at a hospital in northern Uttar Pradesh state, and the accused has fled the area. He's on the run, but we will arrest him soon, police officer Mahindra Pratap Singh told the AFP news agency. The Dalit community, formerly known as the Untouchables, sits at the lowest rung of India's caste system and has been subject to prejudice and discrimination for centuries. So, it's very sad story there. I don't think we have any more sad stories about kids being abused. We do have a story I think it's important to mention here, and it's about slavery. When prison reformer Johnny Perez was incarcerated, he made sheets, underwear, and pillowcases working for Corecraft, a manufacturing division of New York State Correctional Services that uses prisoners to manufacture products for state and local agencies. His pay ranged between 17 cents and 36 cents an hour. We have a system that forces people to work, and not only forces them to work, but doesn't give them an adequate living wage, said Perez. Slavery by any name is wrong. Slavery in any shape or form is wrong. Perez is now part of a nationwide movement that hopes to reform what some have called the slavery loophole, allows incarcerated people to be paid tiny sums for jobs that, if they refuse to do them, can have dire consequences. The 13th Amendment, we've talked about this before, the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, abolish slavery except for a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted. This exception clause has been used to exploit prisoners in the U.S. as workers, paying them nothing to a few dollars a day to perform jobs ranging from prison services to manufacturing or working for private employers, where the majority of their pay is deducted for room and board and other expenses by the jurisdictions where they're incarcerated. A report published by the ACLU in June 2022 found that about 800,000 prisoners out of 1.2 million in state and federal prisons are forced to work, generating a conservative estimate of $11 billion annually in goods and services, while the average range of pay is from 13 cents to 52 cents an hour. Five states, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi, and Texas, force prisoners to work without pay. The report concluded that the labor conditions of U.S. prisoners violate fundamental human rights to life and dignity. Campaign to amend the Constitution at the federal level and in the exception of the 13th Amendment is being promoted by U.S. Representative Nikema Williams and the Senator Jeff Merkley. The bill has 175 co-sponsors in the House, 170 Democrats and 5 Republicans, and 14 co-sponsors in the U.S. Senate, but is yet to leave the committee for a floor vote in either the House or the Senate. In the meantime, the End the Exception Coalition is more than 80 organizations that are trying to get this through. In November, voters will decide on whether to remove exception clauses from Alabama, Louisiana, Oregon, Tennessee, and Vermont. An abolition amendment passed in the California Assembly but failed to receive a Senate vote this year, so it could be on the ballot for votes this November. So yeah, slavery is alive and well in the United States. One of the things with that clause is that was one of the ways to keep people, you know, because you had sharecropping where they would just basically keep their former slaves on the plantation and just working for them, and they would pay them, but then they would just charge them as much as they pay them for all the supplies and everything. But yeah, there's a lot of slavery going on in the U.S., and that's... That's one of the ways we stay afloat. So, yeah, there's a nice infographic. If I remember, I'll look it up. But a lot of our major brands, almost everywhere, any kind of like American-made clothes and a lot of other brands you buy, they're all made with forced labor. We've only got about 2 minutes to go, so I'm sorry, we're going to run out of time. It is the one-year anniversary of a California school officer that killed a teenager. They still have police there, and UPS is in trouble for retaliating against union workers. So that's still happening. Oh golly, well we're so close to out of time. I don't want to ruin another story or start a story and finish it. How about this? Let's talk about this. NASA flies the spacecraft. They were flying into the asteroid. They made it. They hit it just the way they thought they would. Controllers at Johns Hopkins University Applied Physical Laboratory erupted just before the count. You know, they were very excited when it hit. And it's a great little story. It'll be some weeks before scientists on the mission know for sure whether the experiment worked. This is the part that was news to me that I wanted to be sure you heard. Dr. Lori Glaze, the director of planetary science at the space agency, was convinced something remarkable was achieved. So, we'll know in a few weeks, and I'll try and be sure and share it as long as it shows up, in the regular news sources. Ugh. Now I'm nauseous. Now I know for sure it's a, whatchadoodle migraine. All right, I'm gonna go back and listen to the Dubious Goals Committee. You should too. Sorry.
Seven, six.